Lots of conversations happening up in Hartford during the legislative session, and one of the biggest priorities for lawmakers again this year has to do with housing, because we have a housing crisis, which you and I, we both know that. So that's why we have monthly talks with our housing expert on the show, which is Renee Dobis. She is the president and CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners. And it sounds like, Renee, welcome back. You've been talking a lot lately with the Housing Commission, and specifically looking at maybe a program that has worked in New Jersey and could work here. Welcome back. What can you tell us?
Good morning, everyone. Yes, the Open Communities Alliance has put forth a policy paper called Fair Share, and you can find it on their website if anybody's interested to look at it in detail. And basically, what it does is there's some little complicated calculations that they do. They analyze how much market rate housing is in each community, and then they do a formula to determine how many actual units need to go into that municipality based on the shortage in that district. So say, for instance, Fairfield County has a shortage of 38,000 units, and they may be able to go in to, say, Westport and say, Westport, you need to build 400 units. So the white paper does recommend that this should replace 830G, but speaking to the Housing Commission, they don't plan on removing 830G. They're thinking that they want to keep 830G because there's a carrot in 830G in which if you meet some certain benchmarks, then the municipality can have a four-year moratorium on building additional affordable housing. So they want the two to kind of work together.
So they want to tweak 830G, it sounds like, Renee. Like they really want to overhaul it, essentially.
Yeah, we'll see.
That would be monumental to me, some of the biggest breaking news in Connecticut's recent history, if we saw 830G substantially change. Because like you're mentioning here, Renee, it's not all bad, right? I mean, it wouldn't have passed if it was all bad. However, it has been insanely controversial, especially in our rural towns, that in my opinion, when I look at this from a reporter standpoint, have in some ways been wrongfully deemed as places that just don't want to create housing because it'll change the character of their towns. In some regards, that is true. But in other regards, it's because what is the incentive? You're creating housing that is actually not affordable and bringing any of our workforce numbers into a healthy place where we really need them. So why are we supporting a piece of legislation that, yes, kind of allows a free-for-all, if you will, for developers to keep getting richer, but we're not really finding solutions for the average Connecticut resident?
Yes, that is absolutely true. And the other thing that this white paper really points out, which I think is really important, there isn't any enforcement mechanism. So any law put into place that doesn't have an enforcement mechanism will not be followed. And so that, to me, is a gap that really needs to be looked at and studied. And so I've been communicating with the Housing Commission, as well as other organizations who are giving their opinions as well in regards to the affordable housing space. So they're really taking it seriously this year. I think they're really trying to figure out how to improve our housing stock, because they really recognize it's a serious economic issue for the state of Connecticut. So, I find that encouraging. I think for the first time in all the years that I've been talking to the legislative body, that they're actually taking it seriously.
Well, and you know what, Renee? I don't know if I'm crazy here. This might be my Pollyanna type of mindset, but I'm wondering if they realize how many of the issues we have in Connecticut all come back to housing. So, for example, and I think it was heightened during the pandemic, right? So we have a lack of housing in general, all that. So that's fine. So on the surface, it's like, whoa, we got to create housing. But when you talk about things like, hey, we have a healthcare shortage, well, 9 times out of 10, as soon as you hear that, it's like, oh, let's dive into the details of why that. Oh, wait, we can't afford to bring in great nurses and doctors and all that because they have nowhere to live. We have a law enforcement, shortage. That's probably because we have nowhere to house them. Oh, we have a teacher shortage, but we're trying to attract great teachers. We're trying to give them more money. But here's the thing. All their money is not still going to be able to afford their rent or their mortgage payments. We have nowhere to house. It keeps coming back to housing. So many of the arguments and problems in our state come back to, we have nowhere to put these people. And so why would anyone want to live here? So I'm wondering if you feel like that's why all of a sudden it's like, not all of a sudden, but we're at a point where it's like, okay, someone's got to give. And both sides are saying we need to actually create some kind of a change. We don't have to get rid of maybe the legislation altogether, but we certainly have to do something. This isn't working.
Right. It's not working, and it's not working fast enough. And they're really trying to increase the growth for each of the municipalities. So, and they're telling, this white paper is also saying, hey, municipality, you're not going to have more than 20% growth in your community by putting in affordable housing, because the numbers tell the story. And so they're really trying to encourage the municipalities to take this seriously as well. And, you know, and we do know that especially in lower Connecticut, we have a lot of NIMBYism, which is not my backyard. And there are organizations that are pushing back because they're talking about, well, our planning and zoning doesn't really allow us to have multifamily housing. It's going to change the look of our community. You know, it's going to bring in too much traffic. Our schools are going to be overrun. So there's all kinds of excuses of why they don't want this affordable housing in their community. And they're all paper excuses. They're not real. And it's really unfortunate. So this educational process, and I think the legislation really needs to step up and really kind of put pressure on these municipalities to do their fair share.
I know. And that's the thing, Renee, is I think I agree with you, but I also think, and you and I've talked about this, that I think more municipalities would be more open to creating. So, for example, like I look at some of these towns and cities that have like train stations, for example, they want to create more affordable housing near them. Fine. I don't think there's any. I look at Milford right now as creating some kind of a complex, literally right next to the train station. I keep watching it and seeing what's going on there. But I think that towns and cities would be more open to this if they actually knew. So you have a nonprofit. Connecticut Housing Partners, by the way, is a nonprofit organization that's been doing work for over 30 years creating this type of affordable workforce housing. But most of the developers that are creating the housing, they're not doing what you're doing. First of all, these are a lot of times people coming from out of state who just want to make a quick buck here, and they can make a quick buck here. But the thing is they're creating these complexes that are not affordable versus what you're doing at CHP, which is creating, you know, for example, senior housing or affordable housing in these towns and cities that have proven to actually be affordable and be able to house our seniors or house young professionals. But that's not what's being created. And I think that's also caused a lot of pushback.
Yes, it absolutely has. And also, there was a recent study that they were talking about. Housing prices are starting to fall across the country, except in New England.
And great. Just where we need them not to fall. Excellent.
I know.
Great.
Perfect. So, you know, because there, you know, New England is, you know, the oldest part of the country. There's a lot of density in New England. And the other thing is, I've been talking to other people as well, is that we don't have any housing stock. And the reason why is because all these out of state people, these landlords are coming in, they're scooping up all of this housing, and then they're evicting the current residents that are in there where the unit may have been affordable. And then they're jacking up the prices, and then these people have no place to live.
Right.
And so it's causing an additional problem. The banking industry, I've been talking to them as well, because they're trying, you know, they have to do their Community Reinvestment Act. They have to put money into certain things. And one of the things they started putting money into was education for first time home ownership and things like that. There's no housing stock. You know, they need a ton of money for down payment assistance. And, you know, it's this isn't the time to focus on that. The time right now is to focus on creating housing so people have someplace to live.
Exactly. Which is, again, I'm hopeful. Fingers crossed. It sounds like Renee Dobis is, you know, in talks with the Housing Commission, and they seem to be really pushing forward support of a plan that was developed by Open Communities Alliance. It's actually kind of modeled after New Jersey's program that seems to be working. And it wouldn't eliminate 830G, but boy, it would overhaul it and really change sort of the direction we've been going when it comes to creating affordable workforce housing in the state. Renee, we will see what happens next. I always appreciate our chats. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again really soon. You're listening to Melissa in the Morning on WICC.